Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 34. My name is Matt, and this is a weekly podcast where I discuss everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks so much for tuning in this week. I appreciate you being here and listening to this podcast on the Podnuts Network. If you've never checked out that website, go to podnuts.com, www.podnutz.com, and check out some of the other great shows that are a part of the network itself. In last week's episode, I discussed Ubuntu 16.10, and I gave a in-depth review of what I think about Ubuntu Studio and the uses that I think apply to professionals, educators, and anyone else who's just interested in any type of production at all. In this week, I want to start off this episode with a few stories of things that have happened to me during this past week and get into what I think is an important topic. So last week at my school district, I was scheduled for an observation from my principal, and I had been using a Windows 7 computer every day that's connected to my smart board at school to teach lessons all day long. And a few different times over the last few weeks, I've had problems where all of a sudden the video display decided it doesn't want to work. And after several reboots or changing out a few different things, the video display would start working again. Well, this week, 8 minutes before my scheduled observation, this desktop decides to crash completely. And it was working fine an hour before. And after a restart, the fans would blow at full speed, blinking red lights, loud beeps. Never heard this before coming from this particular computer. And of course, this is going to happen just minutes before the most important lesson of the year. So immediately, as a teacher, you're often performing or acting for your students. Now, my students hadn't arrived yet. And luckily enough, they're right across the hall from my room is where the IT guys work. So immediately, without thinking, I ran across the hall and got one of the guys to come over. But already, I'm sort of thinking ahead. As a musician, we're always sort of planning through any type of obstacles that we can run into. So we always have a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C. And we're very quick at coming in and diagnosing problems and coming up with a resolution fairly quickly. And when the IT guy came in, the first thing that he said is, "It sounds like it's the graphics card." And as he opens up the computer and starts working on it, I'm looking at the clock thinking, this is really tight. I don't know if we're going to make it for this lesson. And the immediate thought that popped into my head, well, I have my Ubuntu computer in my office. I can hook it up to the smart board. I know from previous experience that when I hook up this laptop to my smart board, it's going to recognize the display, and even some of the touch capabilities of the smart board work automatically in Linux. Not all of them, but some of them. And I know in the past, the smart board software was even available for Linux. That's the first thought that popped into my head. The second thought that popped into my head was, well, I have a desktop computer in my office, and I could just unplug it and bring it right over and plug it in, and it should work without any problems. And so being a few minutes before class, what I did is I ran into my office and I grabbed the desktop, ran back to my classroom, and we plugged in the desktop computer and had it up and running so that I could teach my class. But what I was sort of fascinated by afterwards was the fact that my first thought, my first instinct was to go the open source way because I knew it was going to work. So the lesson actually ended up going fine. The students didn't even know really what was happening with the other computer. And it was flawless lesson. Everything went well. But I really started starting to think afterwards what I could have done differently. And had I had maybe 15 minutes, I probably would have installed the smart board software on my Ubuntu laptop and just went with that rather than moving an actual desktop from room to room. So switching gears a little bit now, something else that I did this week. over the weekend, I was working on a project with someone else, and we were transferring video files from a video camera to a MacBook Pro, and we were using iMovie. Now, I'm a longtime Apple user, and I have been happy with Apple products, and even though you're paying a premium price, I've never had any issues with Apple products for the last 8 years. And last week, or I should say several weeks ago now, Apple is releasing their new lineup of MacBook Pros that include the track bar where your F1 through F12 keys are now removed, and you have a track bar that changes with the functionality of whatever software that you're using. And immediately, my first thoughts were, this is really a gimmick. This is really not going to be useful. In fact, I use the F1 keys a lot of the time on my MacBook Pro for various reasons. And it just seemed like a stretch to me. And yes, there was some great ideas that they had with this track bar. But I started looking into the amount of RAM that the MacBook Pros, new MacBook Pros will have, and the power that these new MacBook Pros have had, and not much has changed. And then I came across an article of someone trying new MacBook Pros and doing very basic tasks with a smartphone, iPhone 7. And due to the limited ports that were available, the amount of adapters that you have to use to get any work done is ridiculous. So I wasn't really in a very pro-Apple mood at that moment in time this weekend. And trying to use iMovie, which I've complained about a little bit over the last few weeks, and sort of having iMovie woes recently. And as we were trying to import this video, it took at least 5 attempts to get the video from the video camera into iMovie, and iMovie kept crashing. And when it came down to it, trying to edit the video, I kept saying, well, iMovie used to be able to do this, but for some reason they took that away. And or this other thing that we need to do, we used to be able to do that in an older version of iMovie, but we can't in this version now. And I just found myself, I kept saying that over and over and over. And it ended up being hours of wasted time. And finally, I kept saying, well, I know of OpenShot or Kden Live video editors that were open source. And maybe there's a better way of doing this. Maybe the open source way is better for the use cases that we're looking at. So switching gears yet again this past weekend, over the last few weeks, one of my laptops started having a few issues with it. It's a Arch Linux install, and there may have been a bad update that sort of messed up a few things. And I was deciding whether or not I really wanted to take a deep dive and fix all those problems, or maybe after almost 2 years, it was time to just back up my files and reinstall. And so that's what I ended up doing. I sort of backed up my files, and I didn't have a whole lot of time to reinstall Arch Linux. Arch takes a long time to install on its own. So I downloaded Antergos, and I reinstalled the operating system, installed off all my software, put my files back, and really within minutes, I was back up and running again on this laptop, getting work done that I needed to get done. There was no problems whatsoever, everything working great. So again, I started thinking to myself, maybe this open source way is the way to go. And last week, at the end of last week's podcast number 33, I sort of started talking about the journey of podcasting and the journey that I've been through since that I have been podcasting, talking about a lot of different technologies. And over the last few weeks, I have been working on projects within Ubuntu Studio, recording, video editing, graphics design for future episodes. And I really started to wonder about some of the things that I've been talking about. Can I switch from mostly Mac-based workflows to mostly Linux workflows? And the more that I think about this, the more that I work on this, the more that I read up on open source software, I've really been lining myself up for the last few years to do this. On my Mac, I'm using mostly open source software every day. And when I'm teaching, I try to use open source software when I can. And so today I wanted to talk a little bit about the open source way or the open source philosophies. This is not a new thing at all. In fact, if you wanted to research open source software, you can go back to way back to 1983 with the free software movement. That's when the free software movement was launched. And basically, a group of individuals got together and they advocated for a term called free software. Eventually, that term was replaced by what was called open source software. And so open source software allows for a lot of different things. So first of all, what is open source software? So it's computer software in which a source code is made available with a license for anyone to be able to use as long as they follow the terms and agreements provided within this license. It allows people to use this software many times for free, change the software, and even distribute the software, give the software away, as long as they are meeting the terms of this particular license. It also allows for open collaboration between different groups of people working on different projects, and it provides a lot of different reasons on why you might want to consider using the open source software over proprietary software or closed source software. So the first and probably most beneficial to end users is usually it's much lower cost. In some cases, in most cases, it may even be free. Open source software tends to be more secure with more eyes looking at the source code for these programs. Vulnerabilities can be found and fixed many times before anyone else really realizes there's a problem. Another great reason why you may want to consider using open source software is something called vendor lock-in. I'm finding this to be an issue more and more with the smartphones that I'm using, where I'm starting to use apps that are made specifically for iPhone. And they're only going to be able to be used with iPhone. And if one day I decided I wanted to switch from iPhone to Android, I'm going to have a much more difficult time switching because those apps aren't available. So I'm sort of locked into the ecosystem of iPhone at the moment. I don't really like that feeling of being stuck with one particular product. And using things that are open source or cross-platform, you don't get locked into that atmosphere of either locked into using Macs or locked into using Windows. Another benefit of using open source software is many times there is rapid development in these particular types of software. LibreOffice recently, I read an article that LibreOffice is becoming more of a competitor to Google Docs, because they're adding functionality at a really rapid pace. They're adding functionality to be able to upload files to Google Docs and other platforms, other cloud storage ecosystems that were once not available in LibreOffice, but were available in Microsoft Office or Google Docs. And I also started reading about older projects such as OpenOffice. LibreOffice originally branched off from OpenOffice, and OpenOffice has pretty much been stagnant over the last few years, and it may eventually just disappear altogether. So with open source software, products have a chance of increasing in quality at a much greater rate, especially larger projects that have been around for a long time and have a large community helping them out. One of the great things about using open source software is the community and collaboration aspect of it. When I first started using Linux, I found all of the resources that I needed available to me online with people who were willing to help me out whenever I ran into issues. Now, not all open source software needs to be on Linux. You can download open source software from any platform. And more often than not, you're going to find that this software is available for multiple platforms. So if you're on Windows or on Mac, or you find yourself switching back and forth between these two platforms, a lot of times, if you're using open source software, it's easier to switch back and forth from these different platforms. And so now bringing everything back full circle. After a week of dealing with a Windows problem. So after my observation, what I learned was that it was not the graphics card that caused the problem with this Windows desktop. The problem actually occurred several days before when we had a series of power bumps that knocked power out of our school district several times. And the problem actually that caused the fans to run at full speed and these red flashing lights and loud beeps to occur was from something involving Secure Boot. And basically this Secure Boot setup that Microsoft designed caused my computer to lock up and basically be non-functional at a very pivotal moment that I needed it to just work. And after spending and wasting hours with Apple products and seeing the future of these new Apple products that are coming out, I really start to think, is the open source way the way to go? Is using open source software the direction that I need to go? And so I hope you continue to join me on this journey of podcasting and talking about my switch from Windows and Mac over to Linux. And as I run into problems, hopefully you guys can help me out. And at the same time, if you have questions, feel free to send them my way. Over the next few weeks, I'd like to get some more feedback from our new listeners over at the Podnuts Network and some of my older listeners. Hopefully you're joining us here at Podnuts. And feel free to give me feedback on any episode that you've listened to so far, whether it's the earlier episodes or the more recent episodes. And I'm also going to be making some updates to my Patreon page as well. It's patreon.com/mrptech. And you can also check out my YouTube channel by searching for MRP Tech. And I'd like to add some more videos over the next few weeks on YouTube. All of this is to encourage people to use open source software, even if it's making a minor change, like using Firefox over Microsoft Edge or Internet Explorer or Chrome, using open source software like LibreOffice instead of Microsoft Word, so you don't get that vendor lock-in that we talked about. These are changes that most people can make within minutes that will save them money in the long run. And that community effort that I talked about earlier, many of us here in the United States this past week had a rough week, and there wasn't a sense of community in our country. And just imagine if more people adopted philosophies like the open source philosophy and that community effort, the community effort to make things better and to improve on a consistent basis. And that's what I really love about open source is the community aspect of it, being part of something, and you can contribute in many ways, whether it is writing documentation or being part of mailing lists or broadcasting these things on social networks, writing bug reports to help the software get better, and all of those things and even more combined create a community that really makes great products. And so I encourage all of you to try open source software if you haven't already. Many listeners probably already are. And help me continue my journey into switching over to using as much open source software that I can. So I'll keep you posted on all of the great stuff happening over here. I've got a lot of great episodes coming up in the next few weeks. Some of them will need to happen at a specific time, so I'll keep you posted. I don't want to give away too much just yet, but I've got a lot of great things coming up. So thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time.